From 1999 to 2005, two sides dominated English rugby. Leicester Tigers and Wasps, they had a stranglehold on the Premiership. Sale Sharks, by contrast, had never won the English title. But that was about to change. In the latest episode of our Rugby Stories podcast series, we head to the 2005-2006 season, where Sale broke the seven-year Tigers-Wasps monopoly. The side from Greater Manchester beat them both on the way to becoming the first team to top the Premiership table and then win the end of season playoff final.
My career was just amazing. I'd been there, done it. Sale was a completely different challenge.
Just a really good atmosphere. The heart of that was this feeling of belonging to Sale.
We had some of the worst facilities.
Beaten one, beaten two, and Sale are right back in the final.
You see one of your teammates doing that to one of the best players in the world. That's a huge boost.
Charlie Hodgson, what a performance.
We're in the game here.
The best side in England right now, and they look like it.
This was Sale's finest hour.
In Rugby Stories, you'll get the full, extended, uncut anecdotes from the players, coaches and key figures. Some of these stories have never been told before. Sale were a side who tended to struggle in the top flight. Founded in 1861, the team had never won a major trophy going into the new millennium. They are a rugby union team in rugby league country. The closest they'd come was the 1997 Pilkington Cup and a 9-3 defeat to Leicester.
Well, all this a new experience for these players and those supporters from Sale. Simon Mannix on its way, and it's hit the bar again and bounces back. Now this is still really dangerous for Leicester. Sale piling forward. It came back a long way. Mannix again going for the drop goal, and this time it's off the post. How much time left? The answer, none. Brian Campsall's whistle, and it's Leicester's cup. And they'll be inconsolable. They came here believing they could win, but they just made too many errors.
Into this underperforming team came one of rugby's biggest stars, albeit from another code entirely. In 2000, Jason Robinson switched from rugby league to rugby union. It really was a remarkable move. After 9 years for league giants Wigan Warriors, Robinson came into the smaller surrounds of Sale, saying he'd won all there was to win with Wigan. Robinson would go on to reach two World Cup finals with England, score a memorable try in the 2003 win, and twice tour with the British and Irish Lions, playing fullback or wing. But when he joined Sale, the man known as Billy Whiz, for obvious reasons, was in unfamiliar territory and on a very different mission.
So I'd gone from the big stadiums to try and helping one of the bottom clubs, let's face it. All of a sudden I've gone to Sale. You know, we're playing at Heywood Road, my first game against Coventry. I think we had 1,500 people in the stadium, and I think 1,200 came because it was free pint a pint. But from that, I just thought, you know, maybe this is a new challenge for me. And rather than being at a club that was expected to win and did win year on year, Sale was a completely different challenge. I knew some of the players we were trying to get and just build this team in the north. I mean, I'm passionate about the north anyway. I come from Leeds, I'm a Yorkshireman, but you know, just trying to make Sale a bit of a dominant force.
Sale was always a big club. We used to fill Heywood Road. We'd go there on a Saturday, and the supporters were right next to the pitch side, and just a really good atmosphere. You could get close to the players after the game. They'd have a couple of beers, and it was just a real sort of family-connected club with a lot of history behind it.
That's Dean Schofield. He had a first-hand view of the changing times at Sale. The Lock signed in 2001 and played for the club for the best part of a decade. He was capped by England and would also go on to captain Sale. But at the start of his career, Schofield would be on the sidelines as Sale began to show promise.
Some good players. And what they used to do is they used to coach as well. So you'd have ex-players come and coach local teams, which is pretty much where I started showing a bit of interest.
I think one of the key things about Sale's rise was the investment from Brian Kennedy. To run a club, to be successful, you know, you need to put some money into it, and fair play to him, he did that, and that got me over. I remember Apollo Perolini coming over from one of my rivals in rugby league. He came over as well, and then we started to add your Brian Redpath, some young players coming through there, your Wiggies, your Quaits, Charlie Hodgson, and all of a sudden we started to be more of a force and look like we could do something.
Alongside Robinson and Schofield, fly half Charlie Hodgson will go down as one of Sale, in fact, one of the Premiership's greatest players. Why? Well, no one has scored more Premiership points than Hodgson. 2,625 over 11 years with Sale and 5 years with Saracens. The three-time Sale Player of the Year came into a struggling side in 2000. But the next year, things began to change under the leadership of Jim Mallander and Steve Diamond, as Hodgson explains.
My first year, we had a shocker. We finished 11th. We were close to being relegated. But the following year, something seemed to change. 2002, Jim Mallander and Steve Diamond were in charge. We had a little sprinkling of academy players coming through, myself and Mark Quato, Andy Titchell. But also you had international players, the likes of Stuart Pinkerton from Australia, Graham Bond from Australia. Jason Robinson, of course, had moved over from Rugby League. So we started to build this real nice mix of experience and youth. And always at the heart of that was this feeling of belonging to Sale. It was something that we all latched onto.
With this group of players working as hard as they did and all of a sudden starting to make a bit of an impact in the Premiership, we started to want more. It wasn't just about finishing the top half of the season. It was about silverware. It was about being the best we could be. And whilst we had a little bit of success at European level, it wasn't top success. You want to be the best. You want to beat the best.
The European Challenge Cup campaign in 2002 was one of the early indicators of Sale's potential. The club had never won a major trophy, and now they're in the final of the second-tier continental competition against Welsh side Pontypridd.
Brian Redpath keeps them going. Anglesey driving on Redpath again. Quato, Martin Shaw, big score, and they needed that. Now Hanley, a galloping Hanley, beaten one, beaten two, and Sale are right back in the final.
European success probably came as a little bit of a surprise.
I think the winning that trophy probably gave everyone a bit of confidence. The club had won. I just think it gave everybody an uplift. We can start putting performances on the pitch, and we are, you know, we're in contention of winning trophies.
And then we just seemed to just sort of begin that role.
One for the mantelpiece, Sale and European silverware for the first time ever.
Challenge Cup secured with a 25-22 victory. Now the long-term plan for Sale was to build on that winning feeling. The man they chose to do that was Philippe Saint-André. Capped 69 times on the wing for France, almost half of these as captain, Saint-André took his attacking mentality into coaching. This guy was an absolute class act, finding success first with Gloucester and back in his homeland with Burgoyne. Coming in halfway through the 03-04 season, Saint-André would oversee the most successful period in Sale's history. And he made a big impression and big demands on Dean Schofield and Jason Robinson.
Philippe was a real character. I didn't know anything about him, to be honest with you. But just the way he did it, and he was really direct. And I mean, when I think of some of the stories and how he was, we had some fun during that time, but you knew what he wanted.
So Philippe was tough. My first ever meeting with Philippe, he told me that I probably wasn't good enough. I remember the first meeting was harsh. He was brutally honest. He was straight down the line. And for some, I'd been nurtured, basically, with Jim and Steve. As a young player coming through, he'd started late and filled me full of confidence. I remember my first meeting with Philippe. He said, "You're not good enough. You've got to put your ideas up or there's not a part for you in this club." You can't get any straighter than that. It was a real big moment in my career. It could have gone one way or the other. It was either stick with Philippe or join another club. Sale was for me. I wanted to prove Philippe that I was good enough for this team. Started pre-season. I remember running. Must have been 10K run. It might have been 5, but it felt like 10. It felt like 20. I didn't finish the run. I ended up in hospital. So I'd trained myself into the ground on the off-season. And I still remember it to this day. I ran myself into hospital. I was desperate to get into this team. I remember my agent at the time saying, "You're probably going to have to leave the club. If you don't get game time this season, you're probably going to go off the radar." So it was a massive choice, real big decision for me at this moment.
And one of the things that Philippe brought was he had a lot of influence in some of the players that he brought in, especially in the French players, which then made us a much stronger team.
In his first summer as director of rugby, Saint-André brought in the French Legion. 2004 saw some stellar names arrive from across the channel, including hooker Sébastien Bruno, loosehead Lionel Fourré, And at number 8, one of the most enigmatic players in rugby. Instantly recognisable, the man who would become known as the caveman, Sebastien Chabal.
Adding that sort of French mentality, he helped my game, really, my game understanding and the tactical awareness. And we just seemed to build again.
You look at somebody like Sebastien Chabal, he wasn't known as well when he came in. And I think Sale was so good for him, and he was so good for Sale, because he grew so much whilst he was at Sale. You know, he came in, had short hair, he was clean-shaven. All of a sudden, you know, through him coming in and committing to the club, he's grown his hair, he's grown a big beard, you know, his performances have been off the scale. And he created that character. And he certainly was performing. But for us, it was brilliant because he was a talisman. He was one of those. And, you know, you'd see the hair flying about. He's very fit, you know, love the contact, love to grab people by the throat and just, do you know what I mean? Just be a bit of a pain in the backside. Love to take the ball back and carry. And that was great because he slotted in so well.
I don't particularly think the French lads were on big, big money. I just think they wanted to play for Philippe. I think he created an environment where you just wanted to play for Philippe. He was fair. I remember when Philippe turned up, I remember he had this attitude of, you put it on the Saturday, you've got an easy week, which was kind of against everything what we'd been doing, really. It was almost like heads against the wall and let's keep on going. And there's a story with the French lads, which is a good one. I remember being on a run at Lyme Park, which is up in the sticks. It was snowing. It was a real cold day. It started snowing, but I mean, like blizzard, like whiteout. We can't see 2 metres in front of us. We can't see anything. It's a whiteout. So you imagine Sebastien Chabal with his arms folded, with the snow ploughed against his beard, and the French boys, you know, they didn't want to train in the rain. Never mind being stuck on the top of a hill in Derbyshire with a torrential snow. And the fitness coach ran. He left us up there. I don't know what they're going to do if they got the hands on him that day, but he ran off. So luckily, we gingerly got off the top of that hill. I don't know how we did it, but the French lads, fond memories with them, they just didn't want to train. They hated the rain, they hated the cold, they definitely hated the snow, and they're playing in Manchester, which you can't get away from at all.
All of a sudden, we had just a real group that wanted to get better. We started to get much stronger as a team, our forward pack, the maturity, the way we played the game. And when you start to win, confidence builds and you get on that roll, and all of a sudden, it takes some stopping.
Under Saint-André and coaches, including Kingsley Jones, Sale were building something. 2004-2005 saw them finish the regular season in third place. That meant a playoff for the first time and a semi-final against Wasps. But up against the defending champions, Sale's inexperience got the better of them.
Delalio, and this is Lucy, Josh Lucy. Oh, it's opening up here. He's looking left and right. He's just running straight. It's one of the scores of the season.
We were, I suppose, confident enough to get there. But I think when you're in that moment of playing in those semis and finals where we've never really been in that situation before, it's almost too late by the time you think about it and the game's gone and the game was won by Wasps and they went on. So you live and learn from those experiences, don't you? So I think it was good learning for us, that semi-final loss.
King, Shaw, Simon Shaw, all over. Once again, Wasps and their semi-final smiles.
It's one thing being consistent in those performances. Another thing, when it comes to the bigger games and you're playing the bigger teams, if your team has not had that experience over the years of delivering in those big competitions, sometimes it can go against you.
A fortnight after that domestic defeat to eventual champions Wasps, Sale would get the chance to get over that disappointment with a European Challenge Cup final against Pau. And they would storm to their second major trophy in a 27-3 win at the Kassam Stadium.
Sale have been around for over 140 years. They've only ever won one major trophy.
But thankfully in that year, the confidence just built and built and built.
Chabal in full flight. Sale working hard at the breakdown. Oh, they've actually got it. And this is Charlie Hodgson for the first try in the final. Joss Baxendall really nicely away too. Cueto weaving. Andy Titterall. It's all over. And it's Sale's. And it's Sale's emphatically. What a performance.
All of a sudden now, instead of winning a trophy and being content with that, you know, we wanted more. And I think that then spurred us to go even further the following year to really make an impact.
Sale, the 2005 European Challenge Cup winners.
The message was really clear going into the 05-06 season. Sale were no longer content with second-tier trophies. They started this season superbly, Jason Robinson and co winning 7 of their first 8 league games.
And I think in that year we showed for the first time ever that we did have the consistency, that we did have the players, that we did have the maturity to go through the season and deliver. And the effort that we put in, the work, contribution from Philippe Saint-André, Kingsley, the desire to keep pushing us, to get better, to challenging us, was huge. And then the response from the players, and again, even though we didn't have the best facilities, we made the most of everything we did. And all of a sudden, it was like we could smell something.
It wasn't so much the team, it was, and then obviously Robbo in the background at fullback, but it wasn't so much who was in that team, it was the squad of players. Philippe loved rotation. We rotated that team. We got so used to rotating, it was never a problem. We got that used to just sharing the pitch. It created a real team collective. It was a really, really strong team through the board.
Off he goes, Jason Robinson, always the threat.
He knew something was a bit different about this season. And when you start to win, confidence builds and you get on that roll and all of a sudden, it takes some stopping.
Bruno, Courant, Hanley, an Anglo-French conspiracy takes them to the line.
Sale's start looked even more impressive when you consider what was happening behind the scenes. Sale's superstars were homeless during the week, training at amateur clubs and sometimes alongside show horses.
There's a few politics at the club at the time which probably no one knew about. We didn't have a training ground. We were driving around every day looking for pitches in a professional era. I think it kind of brought us together. Nobody moaned. There was no moaning, you know, like, I remember, fast forward my career years down the line, people are moaning about food and the car park. The cars get dusty because they want it tarmacking and them sort of things. We just got on with it. It was almost fun.
We had, some of the worst facilities. We were like nomads. We were going from one amateur club to another amateur club, trying their field, and that was boggy, so we went to another field, and we were even training in a horse arena when it got cold and icy. And you look back now, and people think, could it be real? You see all these facilities now, the facilities we've got at Sale, completely different to what we had. But somehow, not having much in that area made us a bit tighter.
I remember one of the highlights of them years, and me and Robbo will laugh about this still. We found an equestrian centre, and I remember stood queuing outside it. And as we're queuing, the horses come out one by one, and then we're in the equestrian centre. That's what level we was at. I remember getting in a huddle in the middle of this equestrian centre. And there's horse mess everywhere, and Robbo was just looking around, thinking. I know what he was thinking. He's like, right, lads, we'll just make it a short session.
You're waiting outside the horse arena. The door opens up. There's a horse in the middle coming out and it drops a load just before it comes out. And you're thinking, right, we've got to go in there now and do a session in a horse arena with all this on the floor and everything else. But sometimes it's not about what you've got. It's what you do with it. And we somehow managed to keep that real tight bond as a team.
In the new year, and equestrian matters aside, Sale were looking good. Top of the league in January, they would face one of the first big tests of their title credentials, a trip to Welford Road and the then six-time champions Leicester Tigers.
Sale moving again, Hodgson, Cueto, Dean Schofield, big Dean goes over.
We got ahead in the game.
Chris Jones, gone.
He seemed to be in control.
You'd have him kicking to save your life, wouldn't you? Charlie Hodgson.
Sale looked like champions in waiting with a 24-9 half-time lead. But after the break, Charlie Hodgson felt it started to slip.
We just then started to lose the plot a little bit. We gave away a few penalties. Andy Goode then starts to hit goals back. And before we knew it, we were drawing the game. We allowed Leicester back into that game.
One of the favourites to win the Premiership, to go there and get a draw is a big thing, but we know deep down we should have got the win.
Even on our best day, Leicester Tigers at their place, they were unbelievable. They were a tough team to beat.
Sometimes getting a draw in a game would have been a, a real positive for Sale Sharks. But I think back then it wouldn't have been, because we wanted more. We want to beat, you know, we want to beat any team, not just at home. Because the difference is a lot of teams start to do well, but all their games are won at home, and then they're poor when they go away. But Leicester, who, you know, one of the favourites to win the title, the Premiership, to go there and get a draw is a big thing. But we know deep down we should have got the win, and we're hungry for the win. And again, that's one of the things I think that changed in our mindset. We weren't just happy to go there and grab a point. You know, all of a sudden now we knew we could beat them, and we weren't happy with sharing the points.
27-all, more questions about Sale's inexperience and their inability to see out big matches. And those questions would be raised again a month later at the home of the champions, Wasps, the team who'd ended Sale's Premiership hopes the season before.
Game of the season so far, Wasps the champions against Sale, the table toppers.
They were a fantastic team. Matt Dawson, Lois Lalio, Simon Shaw, Paul Sackett. You could reel off all these people who were a huge part of their team, a huge part of their history.
Staunton, not for long. This is Burkitt. First try, Wasps. Wasps pressing for the lead to Lalio Staunton. And this is Voice. Tom Rees up in support. Hoadley for the lead for the first time.
Losing to Wasps away is disappointing.
And the champions doing what champions do.
A 26-16 defeat. Sale's lead at the top cut to 4 points. To make matters worse, Sebastian Chabal was sent off for stamping on Lawrence Dallaglio, brave man, and then appeared to spit at Fraser Waters as he left the field. He was banned for 5 weeks. That meant Hodgson and his Sale teammates would be without one of their talismen for their biggest European match to date, Biarritz away in the Heineken Cup quarterfinal.
That quarterfinal against Biarritz was a funny one, really.
A team on the rise, and what it would say if Sale can win here.
If you're playing in Biarritz, you know, you've got to be on the top of your game. You've got to be able to go away and deliver.
Dmitry Yashvili, Nicola Brusk, Sorelli Bombo!
There was an opportunity to go for goal with a penalty from the touchline.
Interesting. Heading for the corner rather than heading for the posts.
Like, you look back and go, perhaps I should have gone for it, but I didn't.
Oh no, it's dropped. Chance gone.
I remember being frustrated. I remember that game. That was our chance. That was our big opportunity. Because I don't specifically remember Biarritz being like that good that day. They just seemed to choke us. They just stopped us playing at all costs.
As much as you want to progress in certain competitions and win every game, sometimes actually losing is the best thing for you at that particular time. Because when you start winning, sometimes you think you're better than you are. And sometimes we weren't quite there.
And Sale hit a European roadblock in San Sebastian.
11-6. Another defeat in another big game. Sale out of Europe. How would Dean Schofield and his teammates respond?
That was a tough pill to swallow, that one. But then again, you know, you've got to take the positives out of it.
It was the first time that we'd broken out of the group in the European Cup. So that in itself was an achievement to do that. And so we had to celebrate that regardless of the actual result. But yeah, it was disappointing. It wasn't great. We just felt that it was one for the taking that we didn't take. And I think those experiences just, they're only there to make you stronger, really, to make you better.
You dust yourself off. The European dream's gone. You're ready for focusing on the Premiership. Let's go and get stuck in.
So now it was all about the league. And Sale set about finishing the regular season in style and on top of the table.
Clever. Who's on to it? Motoring once again, Steve Hanley, and it's a rout. Message emphatically delivered.
To get to the end and to finish top against all the odds, really, and to finish ahead of those, the likes of Leicester and Wasps, was just an amazing achievement. I think whilst we had this belief, I don't think really anybody expected to finish top. We just rode a little bit of a wave at the time, and once we knew we qualified and we had a home semi, we were just like, this is anybody's game now.
Finishing first was huge for the club. You know, the club over the years had done some good stuff, but this was Sale's finest hour.
The best side in England right now, and they look like it.
It was huge for the players, but gave us that extra belief that, you know, we could go on to do anything we wanted to. And we knew we had the team to take us even further. So finishing first, we knew that history has shown that whoever finishes first ends up not going on and winning the trophy. But for us, again, we were a tight-knit group and we loved each other's company, but we knew we still had to deliver. And then once we had won that, it was a case of, right, now we've done that, brilliant, let's go and get the next challenge and let's win this Premiership title.
One more standing in the way of Twickenham. Ah yes, the familiar foe, Wasps, the defending champions, going for a fourth title in a row. But this time Sale had a home tie at Edgeley Park, where they'd only lost once all season.
The team who know just what it feels like to be English champions against the team who dream of becoming English champions. And isn't it fabulous how the season boils down to semi-finals like these? And Sale, one win away from Twickenham.
Atmosphere that day was electric.
But nobody knows how to win these one-off games quite like this lot. They time their run to perfection.
When you think of Wasps, you know, you think about Europe and the success they've had in Europe. You think about the success they've had in the league. And they had some big players, you know, your Shawses, your Lawrence Dallaglios, some of my ex-England teammates, Josh Luces, and they were a good, good team. And all of a sudden, we had the advantage, obviously, because they came to us.
They were Premiership holders. They'd won the year before. They'd knocked us out in the semi-final. We'd finished top of the league. We knew we had them at home. They weren't too worried about us.
The timing of it, the boys were ready for it, and, you know, we knew Edgeley Park wasn't a great place for people to come, and we wanted to make it horrid. Respect what they've done as a team, but today, you know, we've got to get stuck into them, and it's got to be our day.
Charlie Hodgson gets this semi-final underway. Early pressure, Martins, Hodgson always spilt it, but it's a penalty.
We were ticking the scoreboard away.
And the first point in the semi-final is Sharks' point.
Mark van Gisbergen missed a few kicks at goal as well. Helped the situation.
We were smart, we were physical.
None more so than Sebastian Chabal, back from his suspension and back into beast mode. Schofield remembers an iconic tackle on Wasps legend Lawrence Dallaglio.
I remember being on the pitch and just looking at that tackle and realising, you know, we're in the game here. Nobody's taken a backward step, which that's a given anyway. I just felt we were winning the arm wrestle a little bit. And then they're the iconic moments which put you in that driving seat a little bit. You know, you get confidence from that as a player. Your biggest forward is out there making them sort of tackles.
Dallaglio, Chabal, oh!
You see one of your teammates doing that to one of the best players in the world. That's a huge boost.
Oh, do you think Sale are up for this?
And then Jason Robinson just produced the moment of magic, which he tended to do more often than not in those huge moments.
The turning point came with a few minutes to half-time. Sale 9-3 up, but Wasps in touching distance. The ball came to Jason Robinson, 45 metres out. And Billy Whiz carved his way through the Wasps' defence for one of the great playoff tries.
Robinson.
Got ourselves up to in and around the halfway line. The ball came to me, it was a bit static, and then I managed to step through the first line of attack, and I stepped off my left foot, and I went on almost an arc, and I saw Josh Lucy coming from this side.
Robinson and his dancing feet!
And I had to tear back and sort of head towards the corner to the try line, and just managed to get there before Josh smothered me.
How about this? Oh, yes!
For me, it was brilliant. You know, you don't get opportunities very often, and, you know, when the guys have done so much hard work to get you on that front foot, and once it opens up, it's like, right, now you need to finish. And thankfully for me, just enough speed to get over the line.
And Wasps' quest for a third title ends here. Gloriously, it's Sale off to Twickenham.
Robinson's was the only try of the match. Despite Wasps' second half comeback, Sale won 22-12 and they were one win away from the elusive title.
Tough encounter, bruising game. It was a big scalp, Wasps. We'd knocked the Premiership champions out of the cup. We'd finished top of the league, so we were ready. You're in the final, you've got to win. We were quietly confident that we could do that.
That feeling to reach the final was relief, I think, more than anything else. I think because of that sense of feeling unjust if you don't go on to win from first position, I think it was a relief that we had an opportunity now to go on and win it. It was happiness. We just knew that whatever was going to happen after that, I think we were quite relaxed about the whole thing. And those 2 weeks, it never felt like we were putting pressure on ourselves to win. It was, we just floated along through the weeks. We did our training. We had a great atmosphere. We did our media stuff that we needed to do, and it kind of flowed on, really.
Sale top of the pile at the end of the regular season, but not yet champions. In their way today, Leicester.
The Tigers, who, with Wasps, had a stranglehold on English rugby. Sale were up against the team who knew how to win big games. Six times national champions, back-to-back European champions, and the Premiership's form team winning six in a row on their march to the final. And Sale also had Twickenham to contend with. Their record there? Three games. Three defeats.
For the club, it was huge. Very rare did Sale fans go down to Twickenham.
I was on the bench, but it didn't matter. Philippe had told me I was playing the second half. I remember he had us both in the office. He said I could flick a coin. It didn't matter. So yeah, I was fine with it. I knew I'd be on the pitch when the final whistle went, which meant a lot to me. So you always take the positives out of everything. There were players that season that just put their hand up and played out. They had outstanding seasons, but you can't play everyone, and that's part of the game. But if you've got a squad that believe that and not holding anyone to rights, then this all works. The rotation that Philippe had done for the previous 2-3 years was the norm.
In the preparation in the week, there's a little bit of edginess because there's a massive game on the horizon, but it's all about focus. You're playing one of the best teams in the world in Leicester, the history, everything else. But I think one of the key things for us is, yes, again, we're going to have to be on the money because they're the favourites, even though we've got to a great position. We've got to focus on our game.
And then you look across the team, Lewis Moody is obviously in there. You've got Alessandro Tuilagi on the wing. We knew what a threat he was. Leicester would gain a lot of quick ball, a lot of momentum because of what he did in attack. So it was almost like, okay, well, let's put it back on him now. He's going to have to start turning in the game. We'll get him to run back, to pick the ball up. It was, how do we utilise Leicester's strengths and turn them into weaknesses? And that was kind of what we did.
Set piece, scrums, they would destroy teams. They would almost smother teams in how they played. For us, it was a case of, look, don't be overawed by the occasion, by the atmosphere. Let's just stick to the process. Focus on the game.
We've all enjoyed the way Leicester have ended the season. Six wins in a row. And amidst the Twickenham smoke, if they can make it seven, they will be champions again.
The change room before that game, of course, Robbo's getting animated. He's the captain. If you're not animated for this game, you're not living. You've got your bullet points. You're looking through your notes. You're making sure you've got your lineouts, your calls. It's more strategic, I'd say, more than emotion. As soon as you're on the pitch and the whistle goes, then you're in the game.
It's been another long old season, but there's only one match left that matters now, the Guinness Premiership Final. What it's all been about. And for Leicester and Sale, a shot at rugby immortality.
We had all these nice plans to be able to throw the ball around a little bit. And then when the game came, the heavens opened and it was soaking wet, and game plan had to change immediately, even in the warm-up. So that in itself was a little bit of a shift in mentality.
Not our typical day. We'd prefer a drier surface so we could really play and keep the ball alive. But you've got to play the conditions.
Charlie Hodgson rolled the dice. A huge cross kick for Mark Waito to jump for, and the most fortunate of deflections.
Sale have been so impressive early on, and they are rumbling again. They've got a penalty. So Hodgson hoists it high, knowing that that's on the way. He's looking for Cueto. Murphy's up. Oh, it's gone loose. Well, Cueto thinks he's scored.
Ridiculous. One in a million chances of that happening. And it's come off the back of his foot. It's rolled into the in-goal area. And we're 5 points up.
Murphy's hand. Cueto's boot. That's a try.
Guido able to touch down after the luckiest of bounces off his leg, but Hodgson couldn't convert.
Yeah, the ball was really slippy. So it was one of those games where you're better off not having it, which is strange, obviously, because rugby, you want to be able to score tries with the ball, don't you? But it was almost better not having it.
Another Hodgson error as he attempted to clear would set up a Leicester response.
Hodgson, oh, charge down, loose ball, dangerous ball, Leicester clip through, Lewis Moody.
It was just like, okay, well, let's get back into what we've been doing. Let's keep with the game plan.
Tittrell, Chabal taps it back to Wigglesworth, who goes under the radar. He's done really well. Loose ball, Andy Goode's there. He doesn't gather. Magnus Lund, what a busy start to this final.
Magnus Lund's try sailed second, made it 13-7 after only 17 minutes.
It was a real, real arm wrestle in the wet at Twickenham. Probably wasn't the best game to watch. Charlie had missed a couple of early penalties, which I don't know whether that was nerves, bad position kicks or whatever. But then he starts getting into the game. He starts functioning. The team start functioning. We start getting into the game. We're on the front foot.
And Hodgson made up for those early mistakes with a moment of genius just before halftime. Dean Schofield saw it from the dugout. Hodgson set up for the drop goal, but suddenly he sidestepped and dummied Leicester's stunned defence.
He then produces a moment of, I think it's a sidestep. He's put the ball through.
Drop goal's on.
It kind of happened in slow motion.
Hodgson, oh, he's gone the other way. What's on his mind?
As Philippe and everybody's always taught me, you play what you see. It was just one of those moments that happened, and I can't really give you any more than that.
My goodness, Charlie Hodgson, Oriol Ripoll!
It was just an amazing thing to watch Oriol Ripoll score, first Spanish guy to score in a final. Was a brilliant moment.
Spaniard scores in the English final.
I think when you are a young kid and you're out in the garden and you're dreaming about opportunities like that, I think quite often you always think of the person that actually scores the try or finishes off the move. I always took a huge amount of satisfaction in creating something for somebody else. That's always what spurred me on.
But the genius of Charlie Hodgson.
23-10 at halftime, thanks to Cueto, Magnus Lund and the Ripoll try, set up by Hodgson's magic. Now to see it through, and Dean Schofield would get his chance off the bench.
I remember the second half starts, and biggest moment of my career.
You knew they would find their way back into a game. They would put you into positions and put pressure on you.
40 minutes of the season to go. You'd think Sale, but if anyone can, Leicester can.
There's a lot of mistakes.
First points of the second half. Andy Goode and Leicester points. Time ticking away, but Leicester this close. And the ball's over the line and Jim Hamilton's over it.
Big Jim scoring a try.
Every point matters.
Sale 35-20. Hamilton's try gave Leicester the faintest hope. Would Sale buckle? Hodgson knew they needed to end the contest once and for all.
I learned a huge amount from Philippe Saint-André tactically. And that day was a prime example of kind of what to do, really, in wet weather. It was just defensive pressure, set-piece pressure.
Into the final 5 minutes, Leicester have it. But turnover.
Kick and kick chase.
Hoisted high again, down with the raindrops. Off goes Robinson. Vesti underneath it. Needs help.
Chris Mayer, breakaway try.
Healy. Oh, it's gone loose and it's picked up by Lund. He has Chris Mayer. Mayer!
And it was just, that was the final cap for me.
To finish it! The sights and the sounds of the greatest moment in Sale's history. We've never said this before, but how sweet does it sound? Top of the table, and now Sale, English champions, King Sharks.
45-20, Premiership champions Charlie Hodgson with 23 points and Jason Robinson, the first player to win the final in both codes of rugby.
To get 45 points against Leicester in a final, I mean, who ever does that? It doesn't normally work out like that. But for us, just showed our intent, showed that, you know, we did want to play and that we were there to win the game, and by far Sale's most famous victory in its history of playing rugby.
To have Philippe to sit in front of me and say that I don't think you're good enough for this team. The challenge wasn't for anyone else, it was for me to play for Sale and stick in and make it work. And that's what I did.
Winning a trophy, being in a final, hearing that final whistle is what you dream about. It's that culmination of the hard work that you put in from right at the very beginning of pre-season. It was against the run of play with the likes of Leicester and Wasps, doing what they were doing so successfully for such a long period of time. To be able to break that duck, to be able to finish, to be the first team that finished top of the table, to then go on and win it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Personally, it was good for me to overcome everything and get your hands on that trophy.
I wish I'd sort of cherished that moment, because everything happens so quickly. If only you could bottle that feeling up and sort of replicate it over and over again, you just can't do it. And that's my one thing looking back at that final. I don't know what I would have done differently, but I just wish I'd appreciated it a little bit more, because it just happens in a blur, and before you know it, you're back in Manchester and feeling a little bit hungover and sorry for yourself.
New champions, the English Premiership story comes with a Northern accent. For the first time, historically, it is Sale.
Dean Schofield, Charlie Hodgson and Jason Robinson ensuring their places in the club's Hall of Fame. Sale, finally English champions, their greatest ever season.
Partying went on into the night, and fair play to the boys. They delivered when it counted, and will be forever remembered as a team that delivered on the day.
The feeling of that was something that I'll never forget. You know, Premiership winner, it's the whole sacrifices and fun, the laughs, the, you know, the pain, the, like everything you've had is just encapsulated in that. The whistle going, you look around, look who's on the pitch, look at your coaching team, your physios, everyone's there, and you see what it means to that group of men, that moment in time on the pitch.
Because of the situation that we were in at Sale, because of it was against all odds, because we were this like unfashionable northern club that nobody really liked, that we managed to succeed was just amazing.
Something that I'll never forget, something that's completely crystal clear.
And to do that with the group of friends that I had and still have was awesome.
Everybody had probably written us off, thought we'd never do it. But for us, a group, just believing in what you've got, never mind what everybody else thinks, you commit to something and work at it consistently, it's amazing what you can do. So for us to stand there on that pitch, and for me as captain to hold that trophy aloft, that's what makes it all worthwhile.